And on today's program, my God, it's back to Franchise Town. We're talking Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks. You've seen one too many movies.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to our fine, spooky little program. That's right. The Halloween Spooktacular chugs along as we go back to Haddonfield.
I would rather chug anything than watch this movie.
Rat poison? Would you rather chug rat poison?
That sounds very nice.
Perfect.
That sounds tasty.
You know, some men call this a curse. I call it a gift.
How is it?
Chugging rat poison?
No, the Michael Myers.
Oh.
Immortality of murder.
Immortality of a murderer? That's going to be your autobiography.
I mean, that's going to be my Netflix series of how I did it.
I kind of like this.
If I did it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I did it.
Of course.
You're built like a Canadian hockey player. You're doomed to walk the earth. You kill like six people every 5 years.
Just like an average Canadian hockey player.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig.
What is he doing between Halloweens, you think?
That's sleeping.
Yeah.
Or working at a gas station.
Oh, that explains it.
There was actually
that jumpsuit.
A draft of this movie or a proposal for this movie started out with Michael Myers being homeless.
Yes,
and that's a Scott Spiegel.
He had like hitch his way to Haddonfield just to make
like
it on.
I like that way more.
Absolutely.
But isn't that pretty much how that fourth movie starts with they do like the Frankenstein nod and like that blind guy's taken care of him?
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Isn't that the beginning of fifth? That's the fifth.
Oh, it's one of them. There are sequels in the middle.
Yeah.
Is that Maniac Cop 2?
A lot of homeless serial killers out there.
Yes, as it turns out.
Homeless Michael Myers, I feel like it's been done. Maybe that's why they threw the script across the table. This is, for those of you who don't know, this is the one from 1995, directed by Joe Chappelle, who is a director that, you know, classic case of someone you want taking on a franchise, a guy who was quoted as saying he didn't like these movies.
Oh, cool.
So hire that fucker on to to direct the next one.
But I get the money. Yeah. I get all the money to make the Phantoms. Money.
Oh, yeah, he directed Phantoms after this.
Nice.
Yikes.
He broke Ben Affleck. Well, not really, but...
Broke his back? Oh, that was Bane. Pardon me. This is also the one that's like, I feel like... buried in the most lore, almost, because this was like the disastrous one where like the director was fighting with the producers. And if you get the Halloween box set, which I got on Blu-ray, baby, you get the two cuts of the movie, the theatrical cut, which is what we'll be talking about tonight. But then also there's the producer's cut, which, you know, we'll touch on here and there. I literally watched these back to back.
You watched both of them?
Yeah, I watched both of them.
And the producer's is better, right?
It's weird. Each one of them, both of them, does certain things better than the other one does. Like, the theatrical cut is way more gory.
Yeah.
The producer's cut, all that stuff's cut out. The ending of the producer's cut...
It's more artistic.
Yeah. That's one word.
Yes. It's just like a Terrence Malick movie.
Oh, yeah. Tree of Death.
I would love to see Terrence Malick do a Halloween movie.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, that would be pretty great, right?
The camera's just floating around Michael Myers.
It would be awesome.
Exactly. You could show him like an aerial shot of him digging in garbage and then bringing it back to the hobo star.
Then you have the slightly pretentious voiceover saying...
Right. That does sound... And then, as narrated by Brad Pitt or Cate Blanchett, depending upon which version you watch.
Like you want the IMAX version.
As narrated by Brad Garrett.
a Michael Myers.
Oh, no, Michael, look out. It's Dr. Loomis.
And then it cuts to like a murderous ape in the jungle 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. Bashing another ape's skull in.
Dude, if there was a Halloween sequel that flashback to like the Paleolithic era, bravo. That's a real risk. That's a real risk.
And the rune of Thorn is just like exposed in the primordial ooze.
Yes, dude, the start of evil itself. Mm-hmm.
That's your opening shot, by the way.
Right, you know that thing that everyone talks about, the fish that gets legs and walks out? Uh-huh. It like steps over the rune, and then it's like original sin. It wasn't the biting of the apple by Eve.
It was stepping on the rune.
Exactly. And then he gets a bleached out William Shatner mask, which would be in the Paleolithic era.
I gotta tell you, this is the sixth movie in this franchise. This mask is looking cheap.
I like the mask as well, yeah.
It's at a point where it's
a loose fit. It's a loose fit.
It's loose fitting, which I don't appreciate.
It's 1995. We want to be comfortable.
Why does he have fucking JNCO jeans on then, too?
It's a JNCO mask.
It looks terrible.
I would like to see JNCO jeans.
JNCO jeans, an Echo, like, big puffy jacket.
It is like if you went into a Halloween store now and you were like, I want to be Michael Myers for Halloween. Like, the fucking costume designer did that. They bought a knockoff fucking Michael Myers Halloween costume, and that's what's in a motion picture.
To be fair, for some god-awful reason, most of these movies decide that everyone around Halloween wants to wear a Michael Myers mask, and they sell them in stores in the place where he was from murdering people.
When it's what your town is known for, dude. I mean, the towns around Roswell, there's UFO stuff all over the place.
That's true. Now, Steve would know better than I. Where is Dahmer's epicenter? Do they sell masks?
They don't sell Dahmer masks.
Okay, what about Ed Gein?
He's in Milwaukee, I believe.
Do they sell Dahmer dick jars?
I was going to say, do they sell Dahmer chocolates?
Oh, yes. Chocolate rabbits.
I'm sure somebody does. You can go on the Etsy shop.
Oh, yeah, that's a gross Etsy shop. I don't want to shop on.
It's got raspberry cam in it because it's like blood.
Did you say raspberry cum?
No.
It sounded like you were trying to say jam, but I think you said cam.
I think you just got cum on the brain.
So that's most days.
This movie, the theatrical cut, anyways. Yes. I don't know what goes all on in the beginning of the producer's cut.
Mostly pornography.
We open on Jamie, who's been the protagonist of 4 and 5.
Yep.
She's like 49 years old now. We're in like an alternate 2014.
Right? I mean, it's like when, Tommy Jarvis ages up in those Friday the 13th. Sequels?
Because in the last film, she's 9, and we're told that 6 years have passed, which makes her 15. And you're just talking about a pregnant 15-year-old in this movie.
But the actress is clearly like 28 or something.
She looks like the lead singer of the Cranberries.
Halloween.
The two things Haddonfield is known for.
Michael
Myers and teen pregnancy.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
She's
dude.
Like giving birth in some sort of a castle in Illinois, I guess.
Maybe it's that one in Indiana we discovered, right? Isn't there one in Indiana?
Around South Bend, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Larry Bird's?
Larry Bird's castle.
I think it's, this is actually the Smith's Grove.
It's the basement of Smith's Grove, which it makes more sense in the producer's cut. But you know what? Who cares?
So she gives birth. You don't know who she is because they don't get...
That's the birth.
That's it.
I'm doing the special sound effects for this.
And there's like some sort of a cult going on, and some nurse lets her go. Like she's supposed to be locked up or something.
And this nurse wasn't screened by the cult, obviously. Yeah, look at this turncoat.
But also, you're making the pact to die right there.
Oh, guaranteed.
Like, come on, Michael, I'm here for you.
And she just gets... The first death of the movie is pretty good. A spike is just... It protruded her head, just kind of goes...
Yeah, but it's obnoxious because this whole movie is filled with nods to the first one. Uh-huh. And this is what we're doing. She pins this chick to the wall, and then he does like the head tilt.
Uh-huh.
Fuck you. I saw that first fucking movie. Don't make me wish I was watching it.
I feel like the first time he does it, it's like, oh, the magic and the awe of violence. But now he's just kind of being a mean girl, like, aw.
That's
sorry.
Exactly right. It's overkill, no pun intended.
Oh, you intended that.
Yeah, I intended the shit out of it. So, yeah, that nurse is dead, and this woman breaks out and steals a professional wrestler's truck. You see this guy? Interesting fact about this guy. It's a nothing role where this guy is like, hey, what are you doing to my truck?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what are you doing to my truck? And then he gets murdered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This dude plays a attempting to reform pedophile in the newly under siege The Birth of a Nation.
Oh. Ooh,
total really? Weird IMDb find.
Well, I'm glad they got a veteran actor in there.
What I appreciate about Michael Myers over Jason and Freddy and all the rest is that he is in a couple of these movies driving cars all over the place. He's an accomplished driver.
He's got a license to drive.
He does, dude. He steals a truck and he's like chasing her down.
They wisely always kind of pan out when Michael's behind the wheel. Like, you don't want to get too close to a bare knuckle like Myers chase.
Well, that's why, I mean, the fifth one, which I think is just barely better than this one. I think this is the bottom of the barrel.
A pube's length better.
But it's only for this scene. Is that he's driving a car, but he has to not murder someone who's sitting next to him because he has another mask on and she thinks it's somebody else.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, wait, why doesn't he just take it off? Are you saying that he has two masks in this
yes.
movie?
Not in this movie, in the fifth movie.
Okay, in the last movie.
Well, what's her name? Tina?
Tina.
Tina's got a boyfriend named Michael who he kills.
Yes.
And he puts on his Halloween costume. Right. And he's driving all over the place. You're right. He even stops for so you can get a bag of cigarettes.
You have to think of the guy who's just sitting there like, fuck, man, I just want to kill this bitch.
Exactly. I mean, let's pump the brakes and think about that for a second. Someone turns to Michael Myers and says, oh, stop at that gas station. I want to buy a pack of cigarettes.
And he does it.
He understands. This is why I wish he wasn't supernatural. Just make him like a crazed killer, you know. Just make him a mental case.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Jason doesn't drive, doesn't talk, you know. Just
well, he's
walks.
A baby man.
Exactly. I want my supernatural killers to be baby men.
I feel like that, you know, Michael Myers is more just the strong, silent type. I'm sure he's got a really interesting journal somewhere that no one's allowed to read.
What's the penmanship situation?
Is it a live journal? And is it locked?
It is 1995. He probably has a live journal that is locked.
Well, I don't know if that launched yet.
I'm not.
Maybe.
No.
He's got a GeoCities site. Instead of a visitor count, he's got a kill count.
No, the kill count is at like 60 something, and the visitor count's at like 3.
And he's got enough in his brain to know put that under construction GIF up there. Because he's a smart killer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So she gets away. She's like, also she'd be dead. This baby would be dead. Like, you can't just start running around right after a fucking live birth.
No. You know, from what I know about pregnancy.
Oh, really?
And giving birth. Yeah, you can't be running away from a madman.
I'm sure it's happened.
Oh, maybe a couple times.
I bet it happened today.
She goes to a bus station and calls into a radio show.
Now, this is really stupid. So,
but this is a spooky radio show. They're talking about scary things.
Well,
right?
It's like a Howard Stern shock jock type thing. They
Barry
tried to get
Sims,
Stern,
by the way.
They tried to get Stern to play this character.
Really?
And turn it down. Yeah.
I wish I had video evidence of him saying, "You're so fucking stupid." What?
Yeah.
They should have went to Art Bell then.
Oh God,
West
Art
of
Bell.
The Rockies. You're on the air.
Is that dude dead?
Coast to Coast AM. No.
Oh really?
No, he's alive.
Did they try to get Imus?
That's what he wants you to think. No, they didn't ask Imus.
I am Michael Myers.
Wait, is that you or is that Imus?
That's anybody. It's probably my Imus.
What's awesome about this radio show, though, is at the moment in the movie, we've already also been introduced to Paul Rudd, Donald Pleasance, this woman in the car, and then the woman in the bus station. Where they also, everybody has this radio show on. Paul Rudd's got it on. Donald Pleasance has it on. She's got it on in the truck she steals. And the bus station is
Barry,
pumping.
Are you going to ask her to take her top off? Oh, Barry, look at that toilet flush. Oh, Barry, you're going to get that in-studio guest to sit on the Sibian again, aren't you? Oh, no, an Asian guest on the show. Better play the long duck dong drop. Oh, I love when that happens. Barry, talk about your farts and shits. Barry, I do love it when you talk about your little penis and all of your friends Papa Dewey, slow-voiced Eric, and the rest. Oh, Bear, you cannot sexually satisfy your wife, can you?
Oh, Tony the Pun Man is here. He's famously cheap.
Johnny the limo driver. Oh, your cast of characters, Barry.
These are like the boogeymen. This is worse than Michael Myers.
The four boogeymen of the apocalypse.
So they're all listening.
Everyone, but the biggest one is, why is the bus station playing this over the PA?
Typing it through.
Well, and does she try to call the cops?
No, she immediately calls this radio station,
which is 1-800-YOU-SUCK. By the way, in case
you're curious. Mm-hmm. Boner watch.
And the guy's doing a bit about Michael Myers. He's like, it's Halloween coming up, and like that's what he's saying
because he's like making an appearance in Haddonfield on Halloween. We learn that Haddonfield has banned Halloween since the last movie after what we are told Michael Myers, the girl Jamie, and as this dude puts it, and about 12 cops blew up in a police station.
It's a Footloosean move.
it is quite Footloosean.
Reverend John Lithgow showed up and banned Halloween.
I mean, do they think that he won't show up if there's no Halloween?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, by the way,
he's like walking. I was going to say walking up to town, but he's driving up to town.
He's driving right into town.
And he sees like a sign that says Halloween canceled. I guess I'll go kill someone else.
Yeah. Maybe I'll drive down to Crystal Lake, see what they're up to.
I'll just go anywhere else.
I want to know the logistics of banning Halloween, though. Seriously, like, what if you go out in a costume on Halloween, am I getting a ticket?
Yeah, you're probably getting a ticket.
Are you allowed to watch horror movies in your house?
Yeah.
Can you keep Halloween in your house?
Yes, it has to.
Wait,
be
now
house.
In Footloose, were you able to dance in your house?
That's a great question.
I think they were talking about getting, you know, live cams in the homes.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
Like,
what a police state they were establishing
what is this,
in Footloose.
Halloween resurrection you're talking about.
Footloose resurrection.
Oh, yeah. That's what they should have called that new movie, by the way.
John Lithgow comes back from the dead because you know that asshole died soon after his heart warmed at the end of that movie, right? He allowed it in the end?
He does.
He turns it all around.
Dancing is allowed again!
He does like a little shimmy, I think, at the end, too.
Oh, Christ.
And then he died in a dancing accident.
He entered a dance contest like the Fonz, and he just died of exhaustion.
And now he comes back to life, and he kills people in a house.
Just because, you know, they're doing the Charleston in the bedroom.
Every year on the anniversary of Footloose, he kills people.
So she makes this call into the radio station, and she's like, hey, they're coming. Michael Myers is trying to kill me. Dr. Loomis, if you're out there. And I'm like, thank God this old Englishman is in his countryside cabin listening to this Shock Jocks radio show so he can hear the cry for help.
Right. Well, she's dead.
Oh, I hope she has an orgasm on the air. That isn't a hot dog. I can't hear you, sweetheart. Your top is still on. Oh, up next, George Takei. I do love him.
That isn't a hot dog.
So Dr. Loomis, by the way, is thankfully retired, he says. A guy comes up to him, an old friend of his, Dr. Wynn.
That's a character from the first movie, not played by
this
dude.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay, that's the guy he's chewing out?
Yes,
makes sense.
Yeah, and this character actor's been in a ton
Mitch
of
Ryan.
Stuff. Yeah, Mitch Ryan, everywhere.
He's in Lethal Weapon.
He was the dad on Dharma and Greg.
He is, but... is he Greg's father or Dharma's father?
He's Greg's
father.
He's also the guy from Judge Dredd, the whistleblower, what do you call it, newspaper? Oh,
Vargas Hammond?
Oh, wow.
Are you close personal friends with what's his name, Mitch Ryan?
Mitchell Ryan, yeah.
I think it's Chris's uncle, Uncle Mitch.
I always wondered where all your money came from. Now I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mitch Ryan money talking.
That's Dharma and Greg money that bought me that CD once.
All those DVD sales.
Do you think Dharma and Greg are changing around the dial late at night and see Seinfeld on and it's just like, could have been Dharma and Greg?
The actual Dharma and Greg, you're asking?
So Jenna Elfman and other guy?
The actors, not the fictional characters watching.
That like, would be a hell of a meta moment.
Wouldn't that be eerie, right? Like you're watching TV and suddenly you're on there with your pals chumming around and you're like, wait a second.
It's kind of like Enemy.
Oh, yes.
Is that that Jake Gyllenhaal movie?
Yeah,
I did not watch.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one.
Weird.
Weird, wild stuff.
So Wynn comes up to him and he's like, hey, we need you to come back to Smith's Grove. And I'm like, what, as a janitor? Because this guy is not an accomplished fucking therapist. All right.
Who, Dr. Quick. Loomis?
Yeah, Dr. Loomis.
Dr. Loomis is not.
He's a witch doctor, practically.
He's a fucking failure. He's a A-plus failure.
In his sessions, he's used the word evil dozens of times. That kicks you right out.
He's a B-minus monster hunter, but like an F as a medical doctor.
Dr. Loomis is Kolchak's understudy that got his walking papers and decided to become a shrink.
Oh boy, Kolchak's sick. Now I can go hunt Jack the Ripper tonight.
And then he botches it.
Oh, he would totally bungle it, dude. So I'm going to try to not do this as often as I could. Uh-oh. But cross into the alternate universe of the producer's cut. Dr. Wynn comes and he tells him that he himself is retiring from Smith's Grove. And he has chosen Dr. Loomis to be his successor, and he's trying to get him to come back. And I'm like, okay, but there's all that stuff where Donald Pleasance is talking about how they like fucking forced him to retire and all this. I'm like, what are you doing?
So you're asking a retired man to take the job because you're retiring.
A retired failure.
Yes.
Well, they wanted someone older for the job.
Is there no one working there? Like, shouldn't this go to someone below?
Dude, when we go to Smith's Grove in this movie, I count three people working there. Wynn's secretary, and then Dr. Loomis, who hasn't quite signed on for the job
so
yet.
So now, is it Loomis's fault that Michael Myers keeps getting out and killing people, or is it budget cuts?
It's an underfunded institution?
I think it is.
Well, I think, to be fair, he only broke out the one time.
No, he breaks out again in, I think, 4. He's back there.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
4, no, because 4, he's getting, like, rehabilitated, and there's the ambulance thing happens.
Yeah, he's in a halfway house. He's got a good job. He's got parole meetings.
But then, like,
trying to meet a pretty girl
one day at a time,
and then just somebody puts a scary a ghost in a Rite Aid window, and he's like, "Oh no, it's that time of year again. Yep. It begins."
That would be great. Michael Myers Reform Academy,
The Curse of Thorn.
Actually, that would be awesome. The movie is like, you assume it's Michael Myers the whole time. Then it turns out it was some other dude trying to frame him. And he's like, see, I am getting my life on track. I told you, Priscilla, I gave it up. I gave it all up. Gave up the killing.
This is my new wife, Priscilla. She used to write me letters in jail.
I'm his biggest fan.
Nice to meet you, Priscilla. I'm Ed Bradley. Let's do this.
So, I don't know. We cut to Tommy. I almost said Tommy Jarvis. Kind of same character. Tommy, whatever his name is.
Tommy Doyle. From the first movie, of course.
Who was played by Pauline Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Or as he's credited, Paul Steven Rudd. Yeah, his first movie.
P.S. Rudd.
Clueless winds up coming out first. This was his first movie.
And introducing, they say. Yeah.
It is weird because I find Paul Rudd to be awesome and constantly hilarious. So it's really hard for me to take him seriously in this movie. And he's trying to be like, I'm half convinced he's trying to do a Vincent Price impression through a lot of this movie.
That's a good, interesting point.
He's smiling a lot more than he should be.
Well, because he's trying to play it as like he's kind of skittish and crazy and you don't really know what he's up to.
Like at the end, spoiler alert, when he kills Michael Myers, figure that out.
Yeah, well, it depends on the cut you watch.
He just like looks at the body and is like, as if it's an unwrapped Christmas present that he's going to get to open in like 3 hours.
Well, yeah. You know, this is supposed to be a character who's been like following this since like he was attacked by Michael Myers in the first movie.
Right, because he was the baby that was babysat by Laurie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's kind of a Boo Radley type, like the creepy guy in the window.
He's very Boo Radley, yeah.
So he lives across
He's a voyeur, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's a little bit of a peeper.
He's got a camera at this house, man. At the Strode house.
It was the 90s, man. It's just what you wore baggy tie-dye and you filmed girls.
snapped some pics.
You watched a lot of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
The Strode house, it's a different family. It's like the Strode's brother or something.
This is like a bad TV spinoff.
Yeah. This is like they're distant relatives
it's
of
like
the
Family Matters of Halloween.
The distant relatives of the Strodes inherited the house on the condition that they could live in it for like a year or so.
Yeah, they don't tell anybody. Well, it's like
nobody knows.
I think the dad is the brother of the people who adopted Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
Sure.
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
But that's fine. Like, he's the only one that knows, and like his brother's like, it's a fine house. Nothing, you know, stuff happened. You know, stuff happens in every house.
Well, every house has a story, Chuck. Just get in there.
A 7 foot tall,
just get a broom, a little mop, and it'll be fine.
You're using a broom to clean up blood.
It'll work. Just try it. Just try it. It'll work.
But no, I mean, like, I feel like if you live in fucking Haddonfield where they're outlawing Halloween, yeah, and you know which house you're living in, because later on everyone's like, this is the Myers house? So nobody told me.
It makes no sense. Why are they all surprised? Nobody told me.
There are kids that put up like a cardboard cutout of Michael Myers in front of his yard at the start of the movie.
But that's, and the, well, the dad knows. The dad's in on it. So he's like taking it down before that family can see it, you know.
How long do you think he could keep that under wraps, though?
You know, I think he thinks quite a long time. This
guy's
a bit of
an idiot.
Well, he's a big idiot. He's like a C grade Biff Tannen, this guy.
There's a kid in elementary school in your house. People are telling him. I'm sorry.
Exactly. The second that kid goes to school, oh, you fucking live in the haunted murder house? That's cool.
Because, yeah, it's him, his wife, his daughter, who has a young son. I guess she's come back, and a teenage son named, like, Tony or something.
Tim.
Okay.
And this teenage son, this is a real fucking... what's the character on The Simpsons there?
Oh, Roy.
Roy. He's a real Roy. Like, hey, Roy, this dude's like, oh, tubular, Mr. S.
You know what he doesn't... You know what's not so tubular about this guy? He just watches his sister get beat up at the breakfast table. It doesn't do shit.
Dude, what the fuck?
He gives a, hey, get your hands off. He's like, got this, Tim. And like, nothing.
You stay out.
Because it's kind of a Eric, your favorite scene in A History of Violence where, like, they're sitting down with Naomi Watts and it's like, well, that's why you had a baby die inside, Joel. You know, like, like the dad's being really shitty to her.
Eastern Promises.
Eastern Promises, I apologize, yes.
Yeah, no, it's a touching moment.
She's saying, I don't want you here.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here with your stupid bastard child.
And this kid's like trying to eat cereal, dude. He's a little baby kid.
Yeah, and this dad is aggravated for like seemingly... It's one of those like, oh yeah, don't talk to your family for 5 years. Then you come crawling back and you expect us to roll out the red carpet. It's like, dude, just shut the fuck up and drink your coffee and go to work.
La-dee-da, you have family.
He calls his grandson a bastard like right in front of him. Mm. It's like, oh man, I cannot wait for inevitably when Michael Myers murders this guy.
But setting up one of many plot lines that just gets dropped like a fucking bad habit. This kid, after his mother gets slapped in the face... takes a knife to this guy's stomach and is about to cut him up like a goose. Mm. And you're like, oh, this kid's a bit creepy. Like, you know, maybe the Myers curse something. Oh.
Well, producer's cut in here again.
Sorry.
So to backtrack like one scene earlier, like that previous night, the little kid hears a voice like, you know, kill for him.
Yeah.
Tommy or whatever his name is.
Danny, I think.
Danny, yeah. Kill for him, Danny. And he wakes up and he's like, Mommy, the talking man's here. In the producer's cut, he hears that again.
Oh, okay.
Kill for him, Danny. Like, out of nowhere.
Oh, okay.
Which they don't explain in this movie. And talk about dropping shit. This, like, voice that he hears.
Yeah, it's just there.
So that he's there, he's got a knife on Biff Tannen's gut.
So they go, everybody goes off to have their day. It's Halloween day. You start the day off with some domestic violence, which is the way to, you know, that's going to put spring in everybody's step.
It was the 90s.
Okay.
Some verbal assault. It's
okay. Yeah,
nice.
The kids goes to school. He meets up with his girlfriend.
She's just a real dead meat. They're all going to the same Haddonfield Junior College.
Yikes.
Fake. I hate when these things...
Wait, did you just say this fake town's fake college is fake?
No, it's just... It's one of those things where, like, when you are doing sequel after sequel and, like, you're trying to expand the universe, and it's like, well, of course Haddonfield would have a junior college. Yeah. What are you talking about?
They should at least call like the, you know, the county's community college.
Yeah, or like, you know, Crystal Lake High or some stupid
maybe
shit. Maybe
he just has a fucking job. Like, I care.
No, there should be like a technical institute where all these mechanics go, where Michael can get those mechanic jumpsuits yes. at the beginning of every movie.
Right, that's right next door to the Max Mask Factory.
Oh, wow. You graduated from Haddonfield Junior College. Now you're going to work over at the Haddonfield Mask Factory, huh?
You got two options, the Mask Factory or the mechanics place.
Oh, dude, maybe it's Silver Shamrock opens up a factory.
Oh, that like could that be. Idea. Tie it right back in.
I think they're trying to, the whole Celtic thing and the runes.
I would say, yeah.
I think they're trying to tie it into the third one, kind of.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that.
Which is fuck all pointless.
Exactly, because everyone knows runes are inherent to Norse mythology, and
that's
they
right.
should be using Norse magic.
Well, they also say Sam, the only person in the entire six movies of the first Halloween where Samhain keeps coming up. Even Donald Pleasance calls it Samhain.
You like think it's he'd be classy enough to get it right?
Like it's like some guy in your biology class.
Mr. Hain, are we paying attention? Someone wake up Mr. Hain.
It's the festival of Sam Hain. It's his birthday.
Mr. Hain, you do not own that desk. Stop writing on it.
They go there. Donald Pleasance goes to see the hospital there.
Right.
Yeah. And at this point, Tommy Doyle goes to the bus station because that's where he thought the lady was. He finds this trail of blood. I mean, this bus station.
Dude.
I don't know what this janitor's up to, but he's doing a bad job.
What are you talking about? Just the janitor. This bus station in Haddonfield is open for business. Yeah. I'm looking at you, fucking ticket clerk. Yep. I'm looking at you, all the bus drivers that
see
are coming
something,
through.
Say something. A trail of blood that leads to the bathroom.
A pool of it in one of the fucking faucets.
Oh, I forget. We forgot to mention that Jamie the night before, after she makes the call, she goes, Michael meets her at the bus station. She hides the baby. She goes to a farmhouse and gets impaled on a
corn thresher. Thing,
yeah. Yes. And
corn thresher. We were looking for corn thresher.
Okay.
Do you hear about this?
I worded it wrong.
Do you hear this?
You hear about this?
This corn thresher.
Young girl got impaled on a corn thresher.
Hear about this? He left it turned on. Which is fucking brutal, by the way. Yeah, yeah. And not in the producer's cut. Producer's cut in. He stabs her in the gut. And she lives, and they take her to a hospital where she's only later assassinated by the man in black. The dude comes into the room and shoots her in the head like fucking Don Corleone.
Okay, point theatrical.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Point theatrical on that one.
And the Hat Man is also the one shown to be telling those kids to kill their family, right?
Yeah, and somehow that dude's like the universe's greatest ventriloquist because he's throwing that voice all over that
this
house.
Is like he's the shadow people.
He is, and yes. He's in at the end of five. He's the one that rescues Michael Myers, and you're like, ooh, that's going to get paid off in 6 years in a movie that doesn't have anything to do with this movie. Can't wait for that to happen.
Oh, going to hold my breath for that sequel.
They should have just made it like his friend who's like a cowboy slasher. Like, I heard about your crimes out west, and I was I blew into this town,
dude. It would have been great.
Cut people up on Veterans Day, not 14 days later.
Remember your veterans.
What about what's the dude's name from Jason Goes to Hell? Duke something.
Oh, the bounty hunter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should have been that guy. That character.
It was very similar, right? That's what I thought they were going when they showed that guy springing him out.
One thing that I read on the IMDb Tribune, because this is a copious trivia section.
Oh, you'll spend a good 30 minutes reading
this.
And
actually might have been in the Wikipedia Gazette. It's apparently Donald Pleasance in an interview with Fangoria magazine.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Fango exclusive.
Really was touting the script for part six. Thought it was going to be great. One of the best movies he's ever done. I just like the idea of like Donald Pleasance always talking to it's my good friends at Fangoria magazine. Come on in.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Alex and David.
He knows where his bread is buttered.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Well, that's why he's doing the sixth Halloween movie.
Slash! How you doing?
Slash. Oh, yeah, they're photographers. Slash.
Well, I'll take a picture in front of this severed head.
Oh, God.
I'm a classically trained actor.
How fun.
Oh, me, right next to a dead doll of me.
God, you just feel so fucking bad for him sometimes. I mean, he wasn't like...
All right, I'll take a picture with Robert Englund. Ew.
Oh, ew, Englund.
Robert, could you just take it down a notch with the Axe body spray?
Oh, yeah, I can see that happening. You're covered in hot plastic all day. You gotta spray yourself down with something.
He finds his baby in a dumpster, and he's like, oh, I'm crazy. I'm going to call you Steven. And I'm like, okay.
That Steven, that name suits you. I was like, are you going to eat this baby?
Yeah.
Well, what else would you call a dumpster baby?
That's actually true.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, now he's just in possession of this child, by the way. He takes it back to the boarding house he lives
he's
in.
He's just walking around with this baby. He goes to a hospital. He's like, my baby's sick, man. And this lady's like, I'm going to call security.
That scene makes no sense because I'm like, what's the end game here? Like, he
Security never comes. I think it's one of the problems with Haddonfield.
Yeah.
Whatever this town's name.
Haddonfield. Yeah.
Haddonfield is the guy that runs the delicatessen in Haddonfield.
Haddonfield is the horror movie about nothing.
Michael, he's like the Kramer. He comes in. I like that idea.
Oh, nice. Maybe Dahmer's George.
Michael, I'm sick and tired of you coming in here and killing all of my girlfriends. You get the hell out of here.
Stop eating all my girlfriends' heads.
I'd watch that.
I would watch Haddonfield.
Jerry, you got to go pick up her. I left brains in her apartment. If you've tasted the brains, why do you need them? Anyway, let's continue.
Now, it doesn't matter, but I thought that the security guards do chase him out of there because he runs into Dr. It's one of those like, oh, Dr. Loomis, what are you doing here?
Yes.
You know, and he's like, who are you, friend?
Did I meet you at Fangoria Con 1991?
He's responding like he's an NPC in an RPG.
Yes, he does.
Do you want to see my wares, or do you have something for me?
Oh, you're going to need more coins than that.
This is a pricey potion, traveler.
He goes away, comes back. Who are you, friend? This is a pricey potion, traveler. Like, oh, fuck, this guy's got nothing new to tell me. Fuck you, Donald Pleasance.
Well, I guess I'll talk to the mushroom guy.
I'll see you at the festival tonight.
Yeah, I'll see you at the festival.
Well, it's such horseshit. He's like, oh, meet me tonight at the campus rally at 9 o'clock. And he's like, all right. Party on, dudes!
I was going there anyway. Who else is going to bring the beer bong?
Listen, you're a kid with a baby you found.
Yes. Yep.
This is an adult doctor that you know of.
Sure.
Give the baby to him.
But he doesn't because he sassed that fucking counter lady and she called security on
him. Paul Rudd would be better off putting this baby in the next garbage he finds it. Yep. I mean, like, really, he's a crazy guy. He lives in a rooming house.
Yeah. Well, with what winds up happening, yeah, totally. That baby has quite the wild ride.
Just put it in, like, a little, like, bed thing and throw it in a river.
Yeah, it'll get caught in the reeds. It'll be fine.
Yeah, American Moses.
Have you learned nothing from the Cobblepots?
Yes.
Wow, you know what? Eviscerating point. Who knows what would happen to that baby?
So we come back. He's like, I'll meet you at the cool party. See you at the moon tower, Brosif.
Oh, don't wear your Better Than Ezra t-shirt. I'm wearing mine. All right. All right. All right.
These horror girls always get younger. And I stay the same. I get older.
These final girls.
Yeah, there we go.
We cut to back to the Myers house, and the mother, who is, by the way, she's in True Grit,
Kim Darby?
Kim Darby.
And yes. Wait, we're talking about the newer one, not the John Wayne one.
No, the John Wayne one.
Oh. Yeah, she's the Haley Steinfeld one. Yeah. But she's more importantly the professor in Teen Wolf 2, in case you're wondering.
Oh. Yes, that's right. I was wondering.
We're talking about the MTV show. Wait.
No, we're talking about previous episode, Teen Wolf 2.
Two
O's.
So he... she's like preparing the house for her abusive husband, and she's like, oh, that's right. Dr. Loomis comes here, and he has a big day of it. He goes to her house, and he's like, he breaks in. She's like doing laundry. He's like, hello, I would like to talk to you about the Church of Michael Myers.
It's so awesome. Like, she like flat out shits her pants, and he's like, oh, hello, Mrs. Strode, how are you doing? She's like, crying, like staring at this scarred old man.
He tells her the thing that everybody in the town knows, that she's in the Strode house.
Which that's why everyone keeps looking at me at the grocery store.
I'm sorry, the Michael Myers house. Also, they're the Strodes. This happened to their... it's in the family.
Yeah, this is clearly a family that doesn't talk about much at the holidays. No.
What is this father doing? It's like a dog tooth situation or something?
It might be.
Oh, my God. I'm going to force my family to live in this fucking murder house as a weird social experiment.
He's just burning letters from the outside in the backyard.
Exactly.
Yes, that cat is a monster. And also, someone might come to the door and murder us all. We'll see what happens.
All of a sudden, the little kid like sees an airplane. He's like, whoa, whoa, oh, no, no.
That would be awesome. And he has to keep bringing people. Like, the son starts getting old enough, so he starts bringing this girl in from the community college to have sex with him secretly.
Nice. Yeah,
he doesn't start having sex with the family members because he has no idea what's going on.
It's about time Dad hooked you up, right?
By the way, gentle listeners, watch Dogtooth.
Yes.
So he tells her the scoop. She calls her husband. She's like, I can't believe you put us in this murder house. I'm going to go stay anywhere else for Halloween, for at least one day on Halloween, which makes a good deal of sense. I'm taking the kids. You should come with us. And he's like, ah, shit, come on. Oh, by the way, a nice homage to the mother and father of the Halloween franchise.
Oh, fuck this.
This mother and father combo is Deborah and John for Deborah Hill and John Carpenter.
God.
I'm sure John Carpenter's like, thanks for making me the abusive asshole husband.
Yeah, exactly right. The Halloween universe is Biff Tannen. I really appreciate that.
It's accurate.
So he starts drinking at work, and she winds up getting killed by Michael Myers, weird enough.
This is the dumbest, most frustrating kill of the movie, because like he shows up in the house, and she's like, she's terrible at acting scared. And then like she runs out of her own house and like moves away. Of course, laundry is on like a drying line thing or whatever. She moves aside a sheet, and there's a fence, and she's like, shocked at the appearance of this fence. She's like, where did that fence come from? And then she turns around and falls over, and her glasses fall off, and she's getting like crushed by sheets. And I'm like,
crushed by sheets?
She can't get away from these sheets that are just covering her. This laundry is consuming her. And I'm like, you live here.
Yep.
You know how to get out of your own backyard.
It's a laundry line. It's not Akira. Like, the thing isn't going to tangle itself. Stop it.
Watching this woman struggle at a slow pace, by the way, because any kind of like action choreography in this movie is terrible.
Wasn't there a cool laundry scene in the original? Like, there was a clothing line.
He's standing behind it, exactly. And I'm not sure if he's... I guess that's another...
It's another brilliant nod. Oh,
I think there's also a laundry sequence in Friday the 13th, part 5?
It's part 5. One of them there movies.
There's a good laundry sequence in Batman Forever, which I really appreciate.
Is it really?
When he's doing karate laundry.
Remember that?
He's got a laundry machine, though, right? Yeah. Oh, man, these rich kids.
So she gets murdered. And this is the beginning of, like, everyone in the Strode house doesn't give a shit about anybody. Like,
no one's talking to anybody. And
we're not texting each other, how's your day going?
Right.
But like nobody knows. Like what's her face comes home.
Kara,
who's the mother of Danny. comes home from school and she's like, ah, where's my mom? Hey, mom, you home? I want to make a sandwich or whatever. And like, there's this long shot of like, we don't know what's going on. And like, where are you walking up and down the stairs? And like, I kind of wanted to cut to in. She goes in her room and Michael Myers is just jerking off on her bed. Like, is that?
Oh, you're early.
I got to do the sound effects in this episode.
Oh, I see.
That's Michael Myers jerking off.
I was going to be eerily in the closet, but I usually do this first.
You're really early.
Oh, no, I looked at the wrong day on your schedule you posted on the fridge. Oh, I thought today was Thursday.
Well, look, you left out a picture of your dead dog. What do you think I'm doing here?
Well, hot and bothered by this dead dog.
But that doesn't happen. No, she goes in, and actually, creepier for her. It's,
speaking of jerking off,
it's fucking Paul Rudd hanging out with her son in this room. And like, off.
The son is sitting on one side of the bed playing with a dinosaur. Paul Rudd is on the other side of the bed playing with a baby. Like, he's holding the baby, and it's like, dude, if you walked into your room and there's the known neighborhood weirdo who stares at you from his boarding house window, like, her reaction is so not appropriate. She's like,
scream. It should be a.
What are you doing here? Like, that's... She's, you.
She should be screaming. I would scream.
Especially since he was videotaping you get naked.
Yes, exactly, and at that moment.
He's playing a dumb teenager, and most dumb teenagers break the thing of flour that represents a child. Right?
It's true.
Right? That assignment? Yes. Uh-huh. I just think this baby should die in Paul Rudd's care.
You know what?
Well, then something would happen in this movie. So
it would be different. You'd be
all
like,
radical turn for the Halloween.
Exactly.
Franchise.
You're like, when's Michael Myers going to kill that baby? Oh wait, Paul Rudd did.
Oh, negligence killed that baby.
Well,
weird.
That's the same thing in the. Sorry to keep harping on it, but in the producer's cut, when the other guy kills Jamie, I'm like, that's for Michael Myers to do. Why did this dude just shoot someone in the head? Wrong movie.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I went to the wrong movie.
This franchise doesn't have assassinations.
This is not an Assault on Precinct 13 sequel. I'm in the wrong John Carpenter verse.
I asked for Vanilla Swirl, blammo. Oof.
So they're like, Tommy's like, look, I'm here because, by the way, you live in the Myers house. It's like, say what? Like, yeah, you really do.
Do we even get the explanation, though? Isn't it just more of like a come with me if you want to live kind of thing?
Yeah, she's like, hey, come. The safest place in the world is across the street.
Yeah, and she's just like, we're supposed to stay here. You don't even see him being like, here's what's going down.
Yeah.
When we do finally get to Paul Rudd's bedroom,
yes,
we get to see the coolest thing in this movie by far.
Oh, please.
The Macintosh stone tablet?
No. Above his bed, he has a poster of Wim Wenders, The American Friend.
Does he really?
I lost my fucking brain. My mind flew out of my head.
I watched this movie twice in 24 hours.
It's partially obscured by something, but you can see, you know, Wim Wenders, and you can see part of the title. And
that's awesome.
For people at home listening who don't know what that is, it's a great movie starring Dennis Hopper and Bruno Ganz, who you only know from those Hitler videos.
He's playing Hitler
in the bunker. Yeah.
The downfall meme.
Right.
Yeah, he turns out he's also an actor.
Yeah.
He's been in quite a lot.
Turns out he's a good actor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't notice it because it was obscured by all his Homeland-esque Michael Myers conspiracy theory horseshit that's all over his room.
Yeah, and he sits her down and he's like, oh man, the festival of Samhain, man, it's coming up.
And we're talking about like this fucking Eye of Thorn or whatever the shit, and he's brought like constellations into it.
Some crazy fucking program on his computer.
Oh, of course there's a computer program.
Able to bring all these stupid fucking symbols.
Minesweep.
Look, I was playing Minesweep and I actually cleared this field, and when I did, I figured out the Curse of Thorn.
I touched a bomb.
The Curse of Thorn is basically, I don't know, it's a curse from Celtic lands.
He's got to kill his whole family.
He's he is the evil one.
He's cursed. Like, this is what's stupid about all this is, like, they're making it so, like, he's cursed. So all of a sudden, he's not this, like, embodiment of pure evil, weird, ambiguous thing that they do in the first movie.
Shape.
Yeah, like, now he's just this poor guy that got a curse put on him by this evil doctor feel bad for him. He's fuck you, dude. This guy's a madman.
Killing machine. A killing machine.
Like, don't try to explain it away as he's some victim. It's the thing I've always hated about this.
You know, horseshit. Michael, I heard you're part of a Celtic curse.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
So he's like, all right, you hang out in my creepy rooming house with the creepy rooming house lady, and I'm going to go meet up at Monster Fest with with Donald Pleasance.
It's Monster Fest, Rob Zombie's playing.
And what's her face? So we cut to this festival wherein Barry Sims, who's a character nobody wanted in this.
Nobody gives a shit.
This is the shock jock.
Yes.
Shock jock is there, and like the brother's girlfriend there is like, oh, we want to, like, I don't, what is her goal? She's like, oh, I want to, like, forget about the curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah, this is her whole thing. This is like her, I'm a college student and I have to get, like, politically active in something.
Junior college.
Whoa. So she's like, listen,
take that, associates.
No. I'm on a campaign to bring Halloween back to Haddonfield. She even ropes in, like, you know, it's hurting our economy. Like, businesses are failing because we don't have Halloween. Like, this whole, like, it's our right to celebrate.
Got something to
Halloween.
Say here.
Yeah.
So she's the Kevin Bacon, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. She is. Yeah. And I mean,
there's no Halloween here. Put that candy corn away.
Dad, I just want to spook out for one night.
Get in your room, young lady.
Anyone see his Campbell's chicken soup commercial?
What? Does he play the little kid that turns that's the snowman that turns into a little boy? Because no, that's such an old commercial.
Progresso chicken soup.
Progresso has chicken soup now. It's the best chicken soup you'll ever eat.
Really? I've never seen that.
What?
I have not seen that. I have seen his nude ass in person.
Yes.
It was in a play.
Yeah.
I was going to keep telling yourself that.
Okay.
I lived across from John Lithgow one summer.
I had a really nice camera.
Let's just say, I was in a boarding house one summer.
It was a good play.
So, Mr. Siska, aside from that, how was the play?
Well, he had he played a diplomat that had an affinity for sex with Russian teens or some such.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So the shock.
It was good.
It was good.
It was nice.
You're talking about the play, right? The play was nice. And
yeah,
good.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I'm still not sure he's just talking about looking across the street at Lithgow's bedroom.
I'm at the theater.
All these Russian teenagers.
I wish I could afford to live adjacent to his bedroom.
The shock jock.
The shock jock is like, oh, you know, she's trying to use the shock jock to further her cause. The shock jock says something
barks.
Vaguely, you know, he's like, oh, you wear crotchless panties and bark like a dog. Aruga.
Oh, he got her again. That Barry Sims, you coyote.
Stands up, slow clap.
I like the idea, like, because Paul Rudd does run. He's like, Dr. Loomis, there's a baby. You got to come. He's like, right away, Tommy. He's like, no, wait. He's going to the vomit guy is coming up next. He's going to vomit on the front row. He can make himself do it on cue. Can you imagine?
Here comes Vinny the Vomitorium.
That little person's going to have sex with a woman. I can't leave now. Could you imagine? The dog is going to eat peanut butter off of what?
Oh, my goodness.
Just a minute, Tommy. I know there's a madman on the rampage, but I have to get my T-shirt signed.
So he's like, in the course of this interview, Barry Sims finds out that she, that her boyfriend lives at the Myers house. He's like, oh, that's where we're gonna record the rest of the show, and like he starts calling up his agent.
Well, they also say no, but yes. He's like, no, it's happening.
And I gotta put a clock on something right now.
Uh-oh.
He says, you know, like, where's your house? And the kid Tim, who is finding out on the air what the situation, she says it, and he's like, wait, what?
I live in the what?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's like, how far away is your house? And he's like, a half mile. And Barry Sim says, okay, I will be there in 5 minutes. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
So Barry Sims is in the parking lot of this fucking festival.
All right, put up the ticking clock on the screen.
And he's talking shit to his agent. He's like, oh, man, can't wait to record the rest of this at that pussy Michael Myers' house. And like, where do you get pussy from? Like, you know, like...
Yeah. Mm. Like, have you killed more people? Is that what you're trying to say, Barry Sims?
Like, asshole, sure. Like, he's a dick. I don't like Michael Myers.
Maniac.
Maniac, yeah.
He's not a pussy.
Oh, he's emasculating Michael Myers.
My two worlds are colliding. I don't know what to do with this.
Oh, do me next. Riff away.
Oh, he got me good.
I'm going to eviscerate it by Barry Sim.
That cut to the core, Barry.
Too deep, Barry.
Too deep. We only roast the ones we love.
I don't even know. So, yeah, Barry gets killed. He gets, like, hung in a tree or something.
He gets into a van. And it's one of these useless things. When you're watching different cuts of movies, you're like, what does it matter? Why did you cut this out? Theatrical, he gets in his van, and Michael Myers is in there, and he gets murdered.
Because he's just got an affinity for cars, and he's just checking out the latest.
That's right. The latest creep van that he's going to steal.
Is this a Corolla?
But in the producer's cut, he gets in the car, and the camera, it takes a quarter of a second, just pans to the left, and you see that it's a Smith's Grove van.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, oh, shit, here it comes. Like, it doesn't matter either way, but, like, why are you cutting out details?
Wait, so the DJ's van is from the sanitarium.
No. The DJ gets in the wrong car.
Oh, okay.
Is the situation.
I thought it was like Dr. Loomis is like, I'm going to put you on the payroll. I love you so much.
Come work for me, Barry. Oh, he needs someone to drive him around. I'll do it, Barry. I'll do it.
I've got a weekend gig driving Barry around.
Because you see, like, earlier in the movie, a van with, like, the Barry Sims poster on it. And it's like, it's like the Blues Brothers. He's like, Barry Sims program tonight at the community college or whatever.
Why? For the 50 people who care.
Yeah. And he does something where he's like, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming tonight, Haddonfield. And I'm laughing.
That's nice. So he winds up, he's dead. The girl and the guy go back to the Strode house. Oh, by the way, we're cutting out the dad's death, which is the best death of the movie.
Oh, right.
He comes home and he starts drinking more and he's looking for a story. Deborah, where's dinner? You know, he's doing that thing.
God,
Five across the eyes if I don't see a steak soon.
He goes downstairs. He gets killed by Michael Myers.
But
he's drinking and he's like, oh, I guess the boogeyman's in the house.
Just talking
this
fucking shit.
This is also another laundry sequence. Now there's a beaten up laundry machine that's on for some reason.
And now, was anybody
that's what
else
lures him to the basement?
Was anybody else faked out by this? So, like, Biff Tannen opens this washer and there's like bloody sheets in it. Weren't you expecting the mother to be like stuffed in there?
I thought so too.
Wouldn't that have been something?
But why is Michael Myers doing laundry?
There should be a bloody jumpsuit in there.
Just another gas station attendant's jumper.
Permanent press of white and colors. Humble, dry, low. Yeah, I don't know.
I can tell you, Michael Myers would not use the delicate setting.
Oh, it's always the 10.
Well, you don't need it. What with all the jumpsuits with holes in them?
Yeah. I mean, I will say, as opposed to killing myself in a horror movie, I want to be the drunk lout that is talking shit right before he gets killed.
Oh, totally.
Because that guy's got to be.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
Our next live show.
October 21st. Come on out.
Oh, man, if you got murdered that night. It's like the opening of Scream 2.
It's all part of the show, folks.
Oh, yeah, don't worry.
That's what we'll say.
It's the only time I've ever been compared to Omar Epps. Yeah, he just kills this dude. He starts shocking him, right? Like, he puts him against the laundry machine. He uses, like, a live wire, and his head explodes.
Which is awesome. Like, and point theatrical, that's cut out of the producer's cut.
I screamed in my house when that happened. Not that I was afraid. No. It was a, what?
This is so ridiculous.
Why?
And what's awesome is there's definitely some shots where you're like, that's a puppet of this guy.
Yeah.
That's a puppet of this guy, which they keep in the producer's cut. And I was like, why is it a puppet? Because in that one, he just kind of like slumps over like, oh, I got electrocuted and he dies. And I was like, why was there a puppet in there? And then you watch that and you're like, oh, because he gets scannered.
And across the so later they come in. They think Barry's on his way.
5 minutes!
And the power is cut. And they're like, oh, let's light some candles and fuck.
5 fucking minutes! That's what I'm saying. Come on!
You got a whole radio show coming. And this guy's a shock jock. He's going to bring it up on the air.
Can you imagine? This shock jock gets there. And he catches you having sex. It's all he's going to be roasting you about for the rest of the night.
But also, when he doesn't get there, and, you know, that's just like a brief commercial break, who's doing the show? Dr. Loomis jumps in.
Oh, my God. It's my moment in the sun.
Papa Barry, Papa Barry.
Hosting the Barry Sim Show.
Sitting in for the immortal Barry Sims.
It's like when David Letterman filled in for Johnny.
Okay, what are you wearing, sweetheart? Sound sexy.
This is Loose Loomis.
Loose Loomis. Ew.
Paul Rudd's like, come on, we gotta go. We got no, no, one more minute.
I have a small Johnson as well.
Would you like to see my horribly scarred chest?
I'm Johnson.
So
it's been scarred.
My favorite cut in any movie is we cut back to... so they're about to have sex. We cut back to Paul Rudd and Loomis. They're in the parade or whatever, and he's like... Where's the baby, Tommy? Where's the baby? And they cut from where's the baby to them literally having sex.
It's on its way.
And this other Kara is across the street. It's like, you know, I probably should call home because this guy told I'm staying here because I know that my whole family's in danger.
And it's been hours.
I should give maybe a shit about anybody.
And, like, I know you hate your dad, and he punched you in the face at the breakfast table.
That guy can go, sure.
Yeah, but see what mom's up to.
The brothers they were tight, right?
Oh, yeah, where's Tim? What's Tim doing? She does notice there's a light on. Yeah.
So they, of course, after sex, you have to go take a shower immediately.
Oh, you got to wash it right off.
Like within seconds, you need to do that.
And I think it's a thing, because he's got some line where he's like, I got to stay fresh. And I was like, for Barry Sims?
Who? And this shithouse?
Like, what are you staying fresh for? You just fucked in a shithole mass murderer's house.
If I just had sex with somebody and they took a shower immediately and they weren't going to work, which is already scheduled, I'd be like, okay, fuck you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotta wash you right off of me, sweetheart.
Oh, boy.
So you're saying he got right out of bed after coming and showered you right off, baby?
That sounds like a real loser.
Drop the zero and get with the hero.
I, Loose Loomis, would revel in your essence.
Ew, Loose Loomis.
Hey, Fred, do we have an appropriate drop to play for that? I love it.
Why don't you masturbate on the phone?
That's why they call me the king of all media.
We're listening.
Yeah. Oh, man. So he gets killed. He gets his throat slit kind of slowly, which is not a little uncomfortable for my taste.
It's weird, but you know, this dude should have been tipped off, and I'll tell you why. He gets out of the shower, and he's like, hey, babe, just give me a towel. I'm freezing. I was like, first of all, no, you're not. You just turned off the shower. I can see the steam everywhere.
Yeah.
Second, when someone then, like, immediately hands you a towel and he's got the Mark of Thorn tattoo on his wrist and it's clearly a dude in a gas station attendant's jumpsuit.
Also, the smell of rot and swamp.
Oh, there's rot swamp.
That's a great point. Michael Myers must smell like shit. It's not like, oh, I don't know he's in the room. Like, this guy's never showered.
In the beginning of the fifth,
he's never wiped either.
That was part of the psychosis.
Yeah.
He tried to kill his whole family. He didn't wipe his ass.
Yeah. That's when you jump in the shower after
Michael,
you kill your family.
Maybe you should try wiping your ass. Hang up on that loser. Hang up on him. Oh, I got him good.
Oh, now I'm sitting on the Sibian.
Oh, God.
Now I know what all the fuss is about.
Stupid. So he gets killed. And then the girl gets killed in the car across the way. It's like, oh, my God. And then Danny's getting, like, some story by this old lady that's running the rooming house, which is something.
No, this is like when Danny walks across the street. She's like, can you believe those people got murdered? Yeah. Oh, where's my son? Oh, he's walking across to the murder house?
Yeah, and she goes in, and she's taking her time going, like, if your son is going into a murder house, you have to be screaming, running around, trying to find this kid. She's like, Danny, hey, Danny, get back here. Don't make me come up there. Are you dead? If you're dead, I won't go up there.
You're so grounded. Stomp twice for dead. So she goes up there with like a fireplace poker and whatnot.
Michael Myers takes a tumble down the stairs at this point.
It's a great fall.
He's down for the count for a while.
I mean, usually it's like, you got to shoot these monsters in the face. I mean, this is just a hard fall down the stairs.
Took a spill.
He did. A real wipeout.
Yeah, it's a big woof at the end of that one.
Joe Pesci took more at Home Alone, to be quite honest.
That's true. Maybe he had the curse of Thorn.
Well, they kept getting back up, too.
Yeah.
Those dudes should have been long dead in that movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
there shouldn't have been a sequel.
That's how you rob that many suburban homes in Chicago is
Irish curses. Why doesn't anyone ever cut off fucking Michael Myers' head? You know what? Let's just see what that looks like for a while. He's down. Let's just start. Use serrated blade and go for it.
Stay tuned for Halloween H2O.
Oh, okay.
Which then they immediately retract.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of a dupe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
But seriously, though, get down with a hacksaw and cut these people's heads off.
Yeah, please.
They go across the street. There's some Michael Myers tomfoolery. He gets up. He follows them. They go across the street, and wouldn't you know it, Wynn, who's been set up in one fucking scene in the theatrical cut, is there with all these Irish goons, I guess.
In robes, you know, part of a black mask, they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Johnny Depp was there? With his weird blue eyes.
Yes.
Stupid haircut.
Uh-huh. And Southie.
That movie sucks.
It was him bad. From Black Mass and him from The Ninth Gate, both.
I'm a miserable book collector. I'm a miserable Irish mobster.
Let's talk about hairstyles.
Somehow I'm in movies.
Let's bring back the devil.
In both of the movies. So, you know, she's about to get kidnapped. She runs. She takes a swan dive out the window.
This is the most gleeful I've seen someone jump through a glass window. I mean, it is just like... It's hard. Talk about tumbles.
So everybody gets kidnapped, and this is when the cuts really diverge, is what I understand.
This is when I cut to Twitter. Goodbye, so, movie.
We'll stick on the theatrical cut.
So she wakes up in a hospital room. It looks like the same hospital room that Jamie might have been in or something thereabouts.
I mean, we're back at Smith's Grove. It's a poorly lit mental hospital. There's two people working there again. And apparently no... like other patients locked up there.
No.
Is this place out of business? Is that why he's trying to bring Loomis back?
It's fucking funny.
Oh, they would have
been
closed. I mean, that's a cool thing.
It's like all the other boogeymen recovered.
Yeah, I mean, he's the last one. He's got to be. That would be a cool thing, though. If like, here's the fucking sixth movie of this shit. Like, we got to go back there. Oh, it's been abandoned for years.
That's creepy and spooky. Yeah.
And it legitimizes the fact that the set design of this movie looks like a fucking Tool video.
Yeah,
like,
it does. It really does. And Paul Rudd and Loomis are outside the house. They wake up. They get drugged. And Loomis is like, I know who's playing the game. And I know where he wants to play it.
Oh, man. Just get on with it, Pleasance.
So they get there. And, like, basically, they wind up... Loomis confronts Wynn in his office. And there's this scene, in the scene that I saw, the theatrical cut, wherein basically, like, Wynn is like, oh, it's great. I don't even know what he says.
It's so nothing. He's like, well, my plan's almost complete. And you're like, what the? And then, like, a couple of goblins, like, go in and beat him over the head.
Goblin vomit. Well, they're like, oh, we want you to join the cult. And he's like, I clearly wouldn't do that. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Why on earth would you think, what with my track record, it would be this easy to convert me?
I mean, I figured... you know, your patient, your star patient keeps killing people.
you're somehow
involved in this.
You're trying to tell me that you were legitimately failing that much?
I thought you were unleashing him on your victims.
I thought he was your handler.
Yeah.
Everyone makes mistakes, gentlemen.
So
I'm just a bad doctor. My real calling is the FM dial. I've forged all my medical certificates.
No, Barry. I have the run of the place.
We could turn this medical hospital into a sick FM radio station.
Oh, I've got it. Loose Loomis's Asylum of Freaks on the mornings.
Man, that's the fucking morning show.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Dude, yeah. Some people get dirty in the morning.
So he gets knocked out, and Paul Rudd finds the hallway where she's in. She's yelling. Akira's yelling at this point, and he takes forever to break the door open with a fire extinguisher.
Oh, man. And it's like those obnoxiously long Family Guy gags.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it feels like. Like, he keeps banging it, looking back, and Michael Myers is, like, still coming for him, and he's like, oh, okay. Bang, bang, bang. Is he still there? Oh, okay.
He's really making use of what he understands, Mike. I mean, he's an expert, so he knows, like, Michael Myers' time.
Oh, he's like, Steve, he's got a whole computer program devoted to it.
He's like, I got 48 minutes until he gets within arm's reach. And, you know, that's it.
What's the deal with he walks into that other room, and there's that weird lady there, and she's like, it's too late. And, like, she's been stabbed in the gut and falls over.
File that under one of the many scenes and characters that doesn't make any sense
it's
in either
totally
cut of this
pointless.
Movie.
She's only in the theatrical one. It makes no sense.
So they start running around. They lead into a surgery theater.
Right, because Wynn is, like, showing off something to all of these. It's like a team of government so-and-sos.
Evil people, sir.
Yeah.
It's still got a bit of a mystical vibe, but it is more clinical and clerical.
Like, there's the one dude who still has, like, the ridiculous druid costume still on.
We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, he's like, you can take that off. Halloween's over.
Oh, does he say that?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Steve. This is the reshoot.
We're not doing the Celtic Rune thing anymore?
You're supposed to just be wearing a suit and a lab coat, not dressed up like a druid.
See, they're witch doctors, as in doctors who are witches, I think is what they're getting at.
I see. Yeah, that's making sense.
Yeah.
And I'm still the worst doctor in this room.
You guys actively kill people with your doctor's degree. But somehow, I'm worse.
You may be witch doctors. I'm witch doctors with an H. As in, what am I even doing?
You little motherfuckers are killers. I make the killers.
Yeah, he's like, he could be king shit. If he could have played his, he should have like gotten in with the cult and take it down from the inside once
right.
He's like king shit. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your kills are all on purpose. Mine are all total botch jobs.
I'm the Frank Drebin of the medical profession.
He totally is. But he could have played. Yeah, he could have been like. He's like, I'm actually the puppet master.
Yeah. No one would buy that for a second. Nice try, Loomis.
Oh, then I better get out of here.
So Myers goes into a medical theater with a medical machete. Sure.
Okay.
It's sterile.
Yeah. Show me a doctor using this thing.
And he just kind of hacks them all up off screen.
That's like, I read on the Tribune, that was like a ratings thing. They were like, you can't show all this gore. Put in a strobe light and cut it up real good.
Yeah, so that
Great.
Happens.
Great.
So Wynn dies off screen, or maybe doesn't die off screen. I don't know.
I don't think you see him get killed.
And he's like apparently the most important character in this movie, question mark?
He was the fucking Phantom Menace. You gotta show that dude dying. What are you doing? doing making this movie?
You teased him in the fifth movie, apparently not really, but like, you know, you at least tied that together.
Well, they hadn't yet cast Chris's uncle in the role, but like someone was the man in black.
I mean, he was ready to go.
So you can tell. He told you at Christmas. So they're running down this hallway, and there's a lot of T2 medic, like gates that they closed.
Yeah. And he keeps breaking down.
And he pushes this. It's my favorite death of the movie, and it's so brutal as Michael Myers. Because all these doctors die except for one guy who's running, and he's kind of running with the rest of the group.
Hey, can I be in the movie?
Hey, you guys are the last ones to live, right? So I'll be with you guys.
Yeah.
Like Paul Rudd, the baby, the kid, and Kara, and this like doctor who's just like can't keep up because he's already been cut in the stomach.
Why don't you give me the baby? That'll make it harder. That'll make it harder for him to kill me.
Let me hold the baby.
But they lock this guy in with Myers, and Myers pushes this guy's face through the gate
and like just pushes so hard that like the whole gate door just falls down. That dude is dead.
It feels good to do that to someone.
you can tell.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Less said, the better.
They wind up in some like some bullshit carny freak show where there's all these fetuses in a room and covered in green goo.
Oh, it's like the set of an X-Files episode.
Yeah, I don't need it.
And they're like, oh, it all makes sense now. No, it doesn't.
They do a close up on this fetus in this like green tank. And I'm waiting for this thing to be like, how's it going?
Yeah, I was waiting with bated breath for this like, fucking fetus to start talking.
That puppet's got to at least turn its head. Maybe not say anything.
Maybe they should all just like jump out of their little jars and start like climbing up Paul Rudd and killing him.
Oh my God, they're a bunch of little Michael Myers. Mm-hmm.
It's like the cold open to Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly, Chris.
And Myers gets here, and this is when Paul Rudd uses this green goop like to sedate
him.
Dude,
it's the ooze.
Yeah, it's just the ooze.
So he becomes Michael Myers becomes half rat now or half turtle?
I think it's half turtle. It's the secret of Haddonfield's ooze.
Hey, Joe, for my character, what is in those syringes there?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah, Ecto cooler? I don't know.
Ecto cooler.
it's a big jar of shut the fuck up and shoot the scene.
Do you give a fuck about this? Do you give a fuck about this? I'm asking you this.
It's six syringes full of I want to be home in time for dinner.
So he gets in, and there's a bunch of back and forth cat and mouse where shit that I don't care about. But basically, Paul Rudd beats Michael Myers to death with a pipe.
Oh man, it's a real Haddonfield street fight at the end of this movie.
It's so stupid. I hate this because little wormy Paul Rudd,
Stephen Rudd at this
point. Paul Stephen Rudd is.
Was there another Paul Rudd in the Academy? What is that about?
Is able to kill Michael Myers with a pipe.
Yep.
Meanwhile, thousands of movies.
Thousands? 2,000?
Him being shot, you know, kicked, punched, beaten.
Hit with a car.
With, exploded. Like, beefcakes, too. Like, they're big dudes going after him.
A lot of stuntmen.
Loomis suicide bombs him in the second movie, and he's still dancing around.
So the fact that Paul Stephen Rudd can do this is just bullshit.
I've cracked the Paul Stephen Rudd thing. He did Clueless and this the same year. So I think he's like, I'll be Paul Rudd for Clueless, Paul Stephen Rudd for that. Whichever one's a better movie, that's what I'm going to be.
Oh, wow. That's what decided it, huh?
Smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move.
Yeah, so he just has like a dumb shit-eating grin on his face. Like, I beat the thing that's tortured me my whole life.
But
gotta go.
I do have to say, he's got the right idea. If I was this person, I would be beating his head until it was nothing.
He keeps going.
There's some jelly coming out, too. He knows what to do. He doesn't stop till he sees jelly.
Like, you got to get Hacksaw Jim Duggan to come in here with you. Finish that job.
Do the full Krieger. You know, cut him up, put him in different trash cans,
in
different parts of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do the whole thing.
Just like they did with William Wallace.
Exactly.
Michael Myers on that rack at the end of that movie.
Yeah, oh, man.
Freedom!
They sent his head to the Queen of England and his entrails to the four corners of the...
What is this? This is an interesting crowd.
Dude, man, Halloween at Buckingham?
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's what we should have left Illinois at some point. You know, if we're looking for different things to do, let's go to the UK.
I think only one of the movies takes place outside, and that's H2O.
H2O takes place in California.
NorCal.
Nice.
Stupid, though.
There's a bullshit thing. Don't worry, it's stupid. Earlier in the movie, when like we're listening to that idiot's radio show, people are calling in with like
Luis Loomis.
No, Barry, whatever. Barry Sims. Yeah. He comes on right before Luis Loomis. Luis Loomis is the midnight to five slot. You know, like someone calls into Barry Sims, they're doing like Michael Myers conspiracy theories, and he's talking about like, yeah, man. And then Michael Myers got hired by the CIA, and he's on the government payroll, and they couldn't control him, and they blasted him into space. And I was like, Jason X?
Yeah.
Got like a nice little nod there.
Myers in, X?
Better movie, insanely.
I'll say that. And Jason I fucking X, hate
yeah, that's
that
a better, that's
so,
a better.
So at the end of this, now, Michael Myers is dead, beaten by little wormy Paul Steven Rudd. And then Loomis decides, I'm not going with you. I've got a show to do.
They're all in Paul Rudd's hip red Jeep Cherokee that he's got out of nowhere in this movie.
It's a Wrangler, but it
is. Oh, yeah, you're right, actually.
I think it's pretty cool.
But it's, yeah, he's just like, he pulls up to this thing and he's like, come on, man, we're going to go haul ass to Lollapalooza, get in. And he's like, I don't get in cars without doors on them. But no, he's got some bullshit. Like, I still have some work to do.
Miles to go before I sleep or whatever the fuck.
What if my cane falls out the door? There's nothing there.
I don't get in cars with assholes either. By the way, out of curiosity, what the fuck is the point of that baby or that little kid?
Why am I here?
Who are these people? What's the deal with this movie? Tell me, Haddonfeld.
And then what's fucking so stupid about this, and this is the theatrical cut, is the reshot ending because Donald Pleasance passed away. So all this is he says, I have business to finish. They drive
My
off.
My home planet needs me. Yeah.
I have to go now.
I will say Haddonfeld. Actually, I'm casting Haddonfeld now.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Obviously Mike Myers in the Kramer role. It's Loomis in the George role.
Perfect.
Jamie Lee Curtis as Elaine, and of course Paul Rudd as Jerry.
Yes, I like it.
I think that's accurate.
I was in the pool. There you go. You know the name now.
So you just hear like Donald Pleasance.
You might have seen as running away was leading, making sure it was clear. Eric, what kind of name is that for a clown?
You just hear, like, someone found audio from some movie of Donald Pleasance screaming.
It's Puma Man, I think.
Is he in Puma Man?
He is in Puma
Man. Oh, shit.
The great Mr. Science Theater. They call him Puma Man, which is fun.
Yeah. Makes sense. And so that's, you just are to assume that Michael Myers killed him, cut to a jack-o'-lantern getting blown out. That's artistic.
It would be great if the car had just driven away and then the entire thing exploded.
It would make as much sense.
The entire asylum lights right the fuck up.
This baby's gonna blow!
Oh, no, you get it. It's the end of Casino.
There's one more.
There's one more chip. So the producer's cut, Andrew, right. If you don't mind.
It's a whole fucking Kali Ma Shakti Day shit where, like, Wynn is in this cult. The cult is there. They're going to sacrifice this baby.
And the girl, too, I think.
The girl's going to be sacrificed. She's also possibly going to be impregnated by Michael Myers. There's a line where Kara, this character, says, the baby's yours, isn't it, Michael? Which insinuates that this man fucked his fucking 15-year-old niece. That, hey, you know what? Pretty cool movie.
well, weirder things have happened.
So that happens. The sacrifice.
And then Michael Myers cuts into a rendition of Great Balls of Fire.
Kiss me, baby.
They called him the killer.
Follow
that.
Paul Steven Rudd hilariously steals like a druid outfit and like sneaks down there like an Indiana Jones movie, man.
Well, this is better because you can't go casual cult. If you're doing cult, yep. Go full cult.
Yeah, don't tease me with a cult. That cult better have literally anything to do with the end of the movie.
Yes. I agree with that for sure.
And yeah, like the old woman is involved with it. Apparently, according to the Tribune, if you're watching the pan and scan version, when she holds the knife up to them, she's got a little Curse of Thorn tattoo on her wrist too. Which, and this is amazing because it's like you're filming this movie to be theatrically released in widescreen. That's a great plot twist. You should frame your fucking shot so you can see the plot twist, you idiots!
Yeah, seriously, I want Halloween 7, the old lady.
Let me ask you something about this, Paul. Do you have kids? I do. I have to get home to them. You know what? Why don't you fucking write a new script for me, and then I'll do that movie?
This dude was apparently like rewriting scenes like on the set too.
Look, Monday is Columbus Day. I'm taking that off, and I want to get out of here early so I can really enjoy my weekend. So just fucking wrap this movie up.
And they try to do the sacrifice. It gets broken up because Paul Rudd holds a knife to Wynn's neck or some nonsense.
Like, oh, no.
They escape. Paul Rudd does outright magic at the end of this movie. He puts down a bunch of little runes in a
circle. Bunch of Deku nuts.
Fucking, he tricks him and like basically powers down Michael Myers.
And he gets the slingshot.
And they get in. They get in the. Then it's the Jeep Cherokee scene, and then you know
Jeep Wrangler.
I apologize.
I don't know. I just know it's not a Cherokee.
It's a Trigger for Eric.
I truly apologize to you and the Jeep Corporation.
Yeah,
both real American.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong.
It's the Jeep scene, and Loomis is like, I have more stuff to do, but in this movie, I'm actually going to do it. So he turns around, and he goes, and Michael Myers is laying down. He's about to kill him, I think, right?
He's gonna go to hell tonight. They're going to finish the job, and he's like, Michael, it's over. It's over, Michael. And it's like, dude, the talking cure does not work on this monster, please. Yeah. And he takes the mask off, and it's Wynn, and Wynn starts laughing at him, and then the whole thing is like, magically, Donald Pleasance gets the Mark of Thorn curse tattoo on his wrist and starts screaming.
And then Michael Myers is actually dressed like the Man in Black,
right?
And that's how he gets away, you know, by his work boots.
Yeah, his work boots and jumpsuit pants that you see.
And that's the end of both of
those
movies.
That's both of those movies. A thing I will say the producer's cut has over the theatrical, the producer's cut, they just use John Carpenter's original score through the whole thing.
Oh, the synth.
Not this fucking fart rock whammy guitar horse shit.
Yeah, I hate it.
I don't think that the score should ever be updated. Like, it should just be synth the whole time.
And
like,
keep giving that musical genius money, because that score is amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like they update it with some fucking whammy bar shit, and it just sounds... I mean, it sounds ripe for 1995.
Well, it sure does.
It's a wonder that Peter Jackson turned this down, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I think, wasn't The Frighteners the same year?
Was Frighteners it 95? Is 99.
Oh, was it later?
It's later.
Yeah, I think it is later.
I would have liked to see what that looks like.
Peter Jackson Halloween movie?
If somebody gave a shit about this movie.
A director who knows what he's doing.
Oh, you know what it would have been, though?
Five hours long, seven endings.
Yes, and I was going to add on to that list, Andy Serkis in a mocap Michael Myers costume.
Oh, I like that idea.
I like that. Let's do that now.
We should just mocap all these serial killers.
Mocap it all, man. It worked for Snoke.
And then the jack-o'-lantern artistically blows out also. Yeah. Both of these cuts are directed to Donald Pleasance, so he's rolling over in his grave.
A dedicated to Donald Pleasance.
What did I say?
Directed by Donald
Pleasance. Pardon me. Yeah, no, it's dedicated because he was dead.
He died. Well, he actually died before the reshoots. He died like in February, right, and then they're like, let's throw the whole movie out.
I thought it was really distasteful that they spelled dedicated D-E-A-D.
It's like spookier that way.
Well, come on, I mean, Dimension Films. That's just tasteless.
I know it's a Halloween movie, but come on.
Jesus Christ. Would anyone recommend either cut of this?
No, it's a weaker point of the franchise. It just doesn't make any gosh darn sense. And I mean, the producer's cut makes more sense. It pays off some of the stuff, but not all of it. Like, there is a movie here somewhere. I don't know where it is.
I mean, completists do what you're going to do, but like...
I feel like completists have already done it, unless some of our younger listeners just getting to the franchise.
Yeah, I'm talking to the youth that there, Eric is always,
you know. See, Chris, there is a number of youth that listen.
The youths.
Yeah,
the
youths. They talk to me.
And, you know, if you want to watch all of them, go right the fuck ahead. This movie sucks. This movie, I had a real struggle watching. Like, I can get through pretty boring movies. Mm. This, I was like, to quote Eric again, like drifting towards the wall.
Begs not to be watched.
Had you seen it before this?
When I did the first run of it, like back when I was in like high school, I did the first full watch, I'd seen it. I hadn't seen it since.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this was actually my first time watching this one, I don't like it.
No, it's terrible. I realized I had never actually seen the entirety of the theatrical cut. I'd only seen this movie in whatever form when I got the box set. I'd always avoided it. I'd never seen it. And I was like, oh, producer's cut, that should be cool. I mean, both are terrible.
Yeah.
Completist, like Chris said, do what you're going to do, but hachi-machi. Well, it's just totally convoluted, and with all the references to the first movie, like, just watch that again.
Please watch that again.
Watch it 100 times.
Okay. Or, you know, just skip this movie and go on to H2O in your rewatch, because you're not going to be lost.
No, you're not.
Or don't do that either.
Yeah. We will, in case you're like, well, why don't they rank all those Halloween movies? There's so many of them. We will be doing that. It's an on-screen that's going to release on Halloween.
That's right.
Yes. That's exciting.
Right, yeah. We're going to do everything, including the Robert Zombies.
Robert Steven Zombie.
You know, it's a feudal exercise, because I think George P. Wilbur plays the Shape in this movie, and I was like, I wonder if he played the Shape in all of them. Hit the hyperlink of Michael Myers on IMDb.
Oh, no. Fan films?
You're going to get besieged with fan films. I mean, you can't see the forest for the trees for the fan films in this thing. It's disgusting. There should be a different film page. IMDb, where I don't need to look at
it. Listen, first of all, fan films have no place in IMDb.
I agree.
They have no place in fucking society, thank you very much.
Although, hey, if you follow me on Twitter or whatever and you know of a Michael Myers versus Predator, maybe send that along.
Sure.
And there's a whole bunch of Star Wars ones, right?
What? Oh, send those.
I was going to say, I thought you would already be, you know, on that.
Him slaughtering an Ewok village.
Oh, my God. That would be so great.
Right?
I mean, he could go down right exactly like an AT-AT, though.
Yeah, I think that's how they get him in the end.
Just tie his feet up.
And then they crush his head with two big logs.
That's Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, directed by Joe Chappelle. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over at SideshowNetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Hey, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Get on there, you get access to things like Animation Damnation, our new podcast on The Nexus, which is a Star Trek show. Side Order of Sleaze is sort of dancing around.
It's back. There's like a 40-minute episode on Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS.
That's right.
Good for Halloween.
It's frightening as fuck.
That's good for any night.
And there's a newsletter that people seem to like, which we just released this week.
Steve, what's the name of that newsletter?
It's called the Big Daddy Dispatch.
That's right. And on there, you're getting things like future episodes. If you are a subscriber already, you got the October one, baby. You know all of the spooktacular.
Oh, yeah, and Animation Damnation's going up there. Maybe we should just tell the folks what we're doing for that to get them interested. Maybe they're going to jump on and subscribe to that Patreon then.
Davian Goliath, the Halloween whodunit.
Oh, God. Kill me now.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm really excited.
Me neither, but doesn't that sound good, folks? Wouldn't you contribute a couple shekels for that one?
So if you like the show, you want to support us, you like what we do here, check it out. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Next week, we're going back to my childhood, and I am not excited for this.
Oh, we're riffing your home movies.
It's, oh, man, so many sad Christmases.
It's the Jupins at Wildwood.
That's the short that plays before the feature, Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh, my God.
You know, for the longest time, I thought Stupid was a person. I didn't get what that title meant. Talk about fucking Stupid, by the way.
You know, I think I thought that, too.
I was like, who the fuck is Stupid in this movie?
Oh, that weird potato demon's named Stupid.
Because, like, Jesus Christ, if anyone's going to scare you, it was Ernest P. Worrell. No, that. None of you were scared by Ernest.
I was terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, are you serious?
We don't speak of him.
You were afraid of Ernest?
not afraid, just unsettled. It's just like a fucking 60-year-old man looking at you with a fisheye lens. It's not very flattering for anybody.
Oh, I will tell you, I was terrified of the demon troll's boogers.
Oh, that's great.
That stuff haunted my dreams.
Yeah. More talk of this next week on We Hate Movies. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes that is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Put the fucking lotion in the ground!
It was an excellent day for an exorcism.